This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Power Lunch with Laura Bennett.
Hello, good to be back with you. In this episode, we are hearing from a Jill of all trades, I would call her, Priscilla Shira. She is a motivational speaker. She is a preacher and an author. She's also in recent years taken a go or had a go at doing it beautifully in the Kendrick Brothers movie, The War Room. She also appeared in I Can Only Imagine and is on screens at the moment in Overcomer. She has an amazing passion for the message of the gospel and also particularly connecting to women through a lot of her various books. I caught up with her to chat about that and also how she did end up deciding to take a role on screen.
The Kendrick brothers, who are the gentlemen that wrote, you know, great films like Facing the Giants and Courageous, and then War Room, when they were writing War Room, they called me up and said, every time we are writing the lines for the lead character in War Room, we're thinking to ourselves, what would Priscilla Shira say? And that's what we're trying to write. So he said, we're coming to the end of writing the script now. And we thought, we just need to call Priscilla and ask her if she'll do it. And so they called and asked me to do it. And my first response was, no way. Are you kidding me? I said, you do know that I'm not a trained actress, right? And they said, yes, we do know that. But what we do know about our films is that they're not just movies. They are ministry. And we know that's your heart. Mm. And so, of course, after reading the script, I got to read what everybody who has seen War Room saw. And that is that it is ministry. And the same thing with Overcomer. What draws me to these films is that they are unapologetic gospel films. There's no sugarcoating or watering down the name of Jesus or the message of Jesus Christ. And so as a minister, I just see it as a privilege that God has given me yet another opportunity, another way to say the same message that I'd want to say anyway.
Yeah. So do you feel a little bit more confident on set now, having done now two movies and a smaller part in I Can Only Imagine?
You know, I do feel a little bit more at ease. I wouldn't say that I feel confident because, again, I'm still not as skilled and trained as many who are, you know, this is their livelihood. They make films, whether behind the camera or in front. So I don't have that level of confidence for sure. But I do know with War Room, oh, my goodness, the first day on set, I just burst into a pool of tears just at the intimidation factor of doing something brand new. So to at least know the inner workings of how it goes from day to day, what it looks like to film a scene, and to have some of those nuances down has been helpful in helping me to feel just a little bit more at ease with the process.
And coming into Overcomer, you play an incredible character, Olivia Brooks. Tell us about her and what you liked about being able to play her.
Yes, well, I loved Olivia Brooks for many reasons. She is this polished sort of professional principal at a school, and she really is a centerpiece in the midst of several characters, one of them being the main character, who is a 15-year-old girl named Hannah. And then there's John Harrison, who's one of the coaches on staff at the school, and others. She's sort of the centerpiece in the middle of all of them that are having their sort of emotional crisis and a crisis of identity. And she's just a voice of insight and reason to them all. And what I appreciated about her character is that here she is all polished and professional, but at that school, not only does she do her job, but sometimes she just takes the professional coat off and she sits down with a student and she looks beyond what they're saying into their heart. And she takes a moment to think through, what can I really say to this student beyond math and beyond English and beyond science, what might I say to them that could really literally affect and change the trajectory of their entire life? So in that way, she becomes a mentor. And I think it's a beautiful on-screen example for all of us who work in corporate environments that no matter where we are, no matter how polished you are, at any point you can say, Lord, while I'm in this conversation with my coworker or with my boss or with whomever, would you open my eyes to see if there's something below the surface you're going to give me an opportunity to minister to in this moment?
And it's a nice picture of teachers as well, because people have often quite fond memories of some teachers and others have real challenging memories. For you at school, did you like the experience? Do you have favorite teachers?
You know what? Looking back, I most certainly do. And the ones that I have the biggest connection to, in fact, my sixth grade teacher, I still keep in touch with to this day. And it's because she was exactly like you're describing. She did her job. And even when we had to be disciplined, her students, because we were goofing off or whatever, she still brought her heart to bear there. She still talked to us and looked at us in our eyes and made us feel important and special. And she was interested, I could tell, in not just finishing the lesson plan for the year. Mm. What she wanted was to mold our character. And that sticks with a student.
You get the opportunity in the movie to do that, particularly with Hannah. And of course, we don't want to spoil anything, but tell us a little bit about the relationship between Olivia and Hannah.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, you're right. Without giving away some of those juicy details that you don't come to find until the end of the film, she is a woman who, you know, Hannah's struggling. Hannah is a girl who's displaced in her life. She feels abandoned by her parents. She feels sort of, you know, like she's just sort of flowing through life, trying to make her way. And, you know, all of us had a hard time during our teenage years, if at no other point. Teenagers are hard as they are. But when you feel like you've been displaced and abandoned and that you don't really have a place to be, that to call your own, then it makes it worse. It accentuates the issues. And so Olivia sees that. And Olivia sort of takes her under her wing. She makes Hannah her business, you know, to see about her and to be mindful of her and care about her. And so their relationship is intertwined even more deeply than that. But that's all I'll say, so we don't give it away.
But you are a mum yourself. So helping young kids and particularly growing up through some of those difficult days, that's part of your everyday world as well. So how do you help your kids in those moments where they're like, "Mum, this day is just not working," or "this person just said this to me"?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one of the ways I try to be at least proactive with my sons, I have three sons, and two of them are well into their teenage years now. In fact, just this morning, I went to get my oldest son his driver's license, so he is driving now.
Wow.
Which is going to accentuate my prayer life by 100%, I'm sure. But something I do with them, I have spoken words of affirmation, really, that have been taken right out of the scriptures. I've spoken those words over my boys since they were little. I'd line them up, and I say pretty much the same thing with a few little changes here or there over their life most every single day, so much so that even when they're rolling their eyes and they're going, "Oh, Mom, come on," they can repeat it back to me.
Mm.
So now I know that even though a lot of days they didn't want to hear it and they were like, "Oh, Mom, can you hurry up? We got to move on," the words are absorbing into their heart and into their mind. I've even written them down and I've posted them near the back door where we mostly go in and out of the garage so that they will see them. And sometimes I make them say them out loud to themselves so that they can remind themselves and be fortifying their own character so that they can be prepared for, well, for life. I mean, because life happens.
Yeah.
And everybody's not going to support you and everybody's not going to be kind to you and circumstances are going to challenge you. So you must have an internal fortification that can stand no matter what's happening around you.
Yeah, you get to be both a coach and a mum, which is one in the same role in some respects, but it's a very cool way that you actually make that day and shape it for your kids like that. I love that. And out of this movie, you've written a book called Radiant, which talks a lot about identity and particularly for young girls and their mums, helps them walk through some of those identity challenges. Tell us about that project and why you wanted to partner it with the film or pair it with the film.
Something that I appreciate so much about the Kendrick brothers, and by the way, it's another reason why I continue to align with them as much as possible, is that not only are the films ministry, but they want so much for people who leave the theater to be able to really grapple more deeply with some of the lessons and themes from their movies, that when they did the film Courageous, they asked me if I would write The Resolution for Women, which was a companion book for that movie. And then with War Room, they asked if I would write a prayer strategy book for women. And so I wrote Fort Fervent. And with this one, again, they've written a book for men and for adults, but they asked me specifically if I would write to younger women like Hannah, the main character in the film. And so I've written a book, I say, for young women or the young at heart, because who of us doesn't need to be reminded about our identity and the nuances involved in that? So I write what I think is a very personal book, because now at, you know, my mid-40s, looking back, I got to tell a lot of the stumbles of my own coming up and a lot of the things that I still wrestle with, some funny stories, some sad stories, but the lessons that God has taught me through them all about what it means to know who you are in Christ. And I also was able to write a Bible study called Defined. And so that's an exploration of Ephesians 1 and 2. And it just really walks through everything that the apostle Apostle Paul writes as to who we are as sons and daughters of God.
Mm, and the movie isn't just for the girls, as you mentioned. The Kendrick brothers, they've created a book for the young guys too. And Alex's character, he is very central in terms of his own struggle and what he walks through as somebody whose employment is shifted and all of those sorts of things that can come with that. What do you think men and young guys are going to get out of this movie?
Well, I think that they're going to see a man in John Harrison in particular, a man whose identity has been tied to success. And for both genders, but particularly for men, traditionally, it's been very promoted in our society that the more successful you are, well, then the more significant you are. And so men and women are on this rat race to climb some hypothetical ladder of success at the expense of other things that really do matter, like our own health or our families or, you know, our marriages. And so we see in John Harrison a man who has tucked his significance in his job, and he actually doesn't realize it until it's taken away. And I realized from the film, even in my own life, that there are many things I don't realize that my significance is illegitimately tied to until those things are no longer here. Mm. And then when you don't have them, to the extent that it devastates you is the extent that you know your significance has been illegitimately tied to it. Wow. If you're disappointed, that's one thing. But if you're devastated and can't function and can't move forward, then you know that too much of your value was tied to that relationship or that job or that idea or that dream, and you've got to replace your identity and your significance in your identity in Christ, because that doesn't change.
Yeah, wow, that is such a reality check, I think, for a lot of us listening. And how do you think then, as someone who has a lot of experience in this kind of space, how can we make sure that we don't become so tied to those things? Because in the day-to-day, it is a little bit hard to not realize, I guess, that or not notice that you have become so connected to your job as an identity. How do you make sure it never becomes a problem?
Well, first of all, I don't actually think it will never become a problem, because I think we live in the world and the world is constantly promoting for us the ideas of what things make us significant. And of course, we live in this body. Our flesh wants to be included. You know, we want to have the approval of people. Social media compounds that. We want the likes and we want the applause and we want people to notice us with the selfies that we just took, you know? So we live in a society that promotes that. So it's going to be a constant struggle forward as we continue to try to honor God. But I think it starts with having an honest conversation with the Lord and literally asking him, Lord, would you please show me any area of my life where I have illegitimately tied a level of significance, my own significance, to whether or not that thing works out in my favor or that person applauds and appreciates me? I believe that he'll honor that request by opening your eyes to see any place. And honestly, it's a hard lesson, because sometimes he might show it to you by actually pulling that thing away just a little bit. And then when it pulls away and you realize it hurts really deeply, you begin to become acquainted with the areas of your life where you might be too closely tied to something or someone. And then just continuing to intentionally reinstate our God on the throne of your heart, removing all the idols, saying, you know what, God, this job is so important to me, but I'm going to remind myself and proactively prioritize you over the job or over the money or over the, you know, the group that I want to engage me. Nothing wrong with any of those things, but I'm going to prioritize you so much so that I make sure that nothing ever distances you from being first place in my life.
Such good advice, Priscilla, and it's been a great pleasure chatting with you. Thank you so much for taking the time, and thank you for the part you play in Overcomer. It really is an extraordinary movie and a great project as well.
I appreciate you. Thanks for supporting the film. I'm very grateful.
And that is it for this week's Power Lunch. Thank you for listening. Would love for you to subscribe, rate it, share it with your friends, and let me know what you think. Until next time, see you later.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.